This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, let me ask you, how's your immune system lately?
It's honestly in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But what if I told you that similar to our immune system, which produces more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a host of health benefits?
I'd gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I can attest to that personally. I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it's delicious.
I know that's
their
right.
Their grape juice is delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious.
Preach on.
Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
Best I've ever had.
I'm glad to hear that you liked it, but try not to eat the shampoo.
Too late. And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though. You said your immune system was in critical condition? I think I know why.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. We're going to talk about that later, but fret no more. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com and use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on all your purchases of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Remember, that promo code is TODAY. T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away.
Hello, everyone. Today is Monday, February the 5th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. You can leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
Post it to your MySpace bio. Post a link to the show on your MySpace.
Put us in your top 8 friends.
Yes.
Kick Tom out of there. You know, I kept Tom in my top 8 friends for like a year.
I think I did too. Tom was good to us.
So long, Tom. You've been replaced by the Clearview Today show.
The verse of the day today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength.
You know, it's very simple. You love God more than anything else.
Yes.
But it's so hard for us to do. As Christians, we love all the beautiful things of the world. And I think the easier life gets throughout, as time goes on, the more convenient life gets, the harder it is to love God. You know, with to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. What about my comfort? What about this great life I have here on earth? What about my money and my success?
I would like to love my leisure, please.
Yeah, seriously. And it's difficult. And I think it's in those hard, we always say it's in those hard times, it's harder to love God. But sometimes I think that it's in the difficult times, like it's almost easier to love God because I see how well he's come through for me every time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's often been illustrated like the mountains and the valleys of life. When you're on the mountaintop, you're looking out. But when you're in the valley, you have no choice but to look up.
Yes.
So when life is difficult, we're kind of prone to look toward God. But when life is good, a lot of times we can be lulled into complacency or comfort and neglect our relationship with God.
That's a good illustration, man. Did you come up with that?
I don't think I did.
The valley.
I'm pretty sure that's not original to me.
But you don't know where you got it.
I don't know where I got it
from. That's pretty good.
I'm not comfortable taking credit for that.
Let's patent it and then go after anybody, legally go after anybody who uses it.
Sounds great. Circle C, Ryan.
I loved it. All right, so two things. Number one, clearly, Clearly, if you're watching, if you're listening to us on the radio, nothing is different. Absolutely nothing is different. You can keep on.
We sound exactly the same.
But if you're watching the video podcast, you can tell we are in a, nah, it's not a new studio, it's the same room, but we've completely redone the room.
Feels new.
Feels new. It's got that radio vibe, you know what I mean? It's got the acoustic panels on the wall, it's got the gray walls, it's got a little bit of mood lighting. It's just, it's got the vibe.
New studio. New us, same delicious content.
Same delicious content. That was the number one thing. Number two thing, I've been watching children's programming with my kid, with Gavin.
Sure, as you do.
Why does Bluey hit so hard?
Bluey does go hard.
You ever seen Osmosis Jones? Like, bam! Yeah. Oh, why you hit so hard?
Yeah, hit so hard.
So there's no, a children's show has no right being this emotional.
Make me in the feels, like get me right in the feels.
Like, I don't know if this is just a thing that parents do, but like you just be sitting there ignoring it and then you just be like finding yourself watching it. And with some stuff, it's like Cocomelon or with like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, it's just mindless.
Yeah.
But then I'm like watching Bluey and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yes. Dr. Shaw's, obviously he's had kids. He's had four that have kind of grown up under him. I would imagine that he's been sucked into one or two or maybe more.
I have a picture of Pastor Shaw looking at his two boys laying in the floor, heads touching, looking at this little CRTV that's like that big. And they're just watching it together, like the three of them. And I think they were like watching like Robin Hood, Disney's Robin Hood or something.
Oh,
yeah,
cute.
We'll bring it up.
We're going to ask him about that when he comes back in. But write in and let us know if you've ever found yourself sucked into children's programming. What was the show? And how would you recommend it to
it happens,
adults
man.
Now?
It happens.
Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house. Wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We're here once again in the brand new renovated Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is still a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. New studio, new us, but that some things just don't ever change.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because some things that do change, we were talking about this earlier, is kids' TV.
Right.
You know, it used to be there was a time where, like, when I was a kid in the 90s,
yeah.
Kids' TV felt like it was just gold, just pure tea
gold.
Oh,
man, that was prime era.
Felt like in the 2000s, it got, like, and maybe even the 2010s, it got so obnoxious. I'm talking about, like, Yo Gabba Gabba. I'm talking about, like, the Backyardigans. It was just obnoxious to watch. Now my son is watching Bluey.
Yeah.
And I'm in here like 31 years old, grown man, and I'm into this show. I'm like, this is for real.
Yeah.
This hits hard. Did you ever feel like that when you were watching kids' shows with your children?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Definitely. Yeah. It felt like, man, you don't know the shows you're missing. Yeah. Animaniacs.
Yeah.
That's a show. You know, stuff like that. And then in time, you realize now there's. Everybody has their shows.
Yeah.
Now, there are some shows that came in the 2000s that I would say is they were just weird.
Oh, yeah.
How about the Cat Dog?
Cat Dog was not allowed in our house.
I was never a fan of Cat Dog.
Cat Dog.
Got into Cat Dog.
Not allowed at our house. Our parents did not let us watch it.
No, we're not going to have these half half-breed
animals.
It's an abomination.
For real, my mom would not let us watch cat dog at all.
Really?
Nope.
Yeah. No, honey. Like that's not going to work here.
No, we're not going to do that. You can have your Hey Arnold. You can have your Doug Funny, but we're not.
Cat dog wasn't doing you any favors. I mean,
our kids used to watch, what was that? Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah, oh, Gavin likes Clifford.
Yeah. Clifford's good.
Clifford's
and
a staple.
Franklin.
I forgot about
and then of
Franklin.
Course SpongeBob.
Yeah,
which you were not allowed to watch.
I was not allowed to watch SpongeBob. I was not. And then, so like when I got to the point where there wasn't like an allowed not allowed list anymore, I was like, let me watch SpongeBob, see what I've been missing out on. And I guess I'd pass that point because I could not get into it.
No, see, I didn't watch SpongeBob as a kid, but I watched it in college, and I thought it was the greatest thing. I was like, I can't believe I've skipped out on this all these years.
So great!
I would never have pegged you as a SpongeBob fan.
Well, it began with just sitting there watching the kids watch SpongeBob, and it was initially we would hear, you know, it's like, don't let your kids watch them, their brains are going to turn to mush. and we were like, huh. And then I sat there, watched one time, and I'm like, this is actually funny.
Yeah.
This is actually funny. And so.
Did you and your brother, when y'all were kids, did y'all ever fight over what y'all were going to watch on TV? Like what cartoons you guys were going to watch?
A little bit, but it was not the same.
Right.
You know, by the time we got TV, it was in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we got our TV. And so Spider-Man would come on.
Ooh, nice.
Spider-Man was the one I would watch. And there was Knight Rider, you know, shows like that.
Yeah.
And, and then there were also He-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the power of Grayskull.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so pretty good. Awesome.
Well, you know, a lot of times with those TV shows, especially in those like nostalgic eras where maybe you and your sibling are close in age, there's a lot of fighting that happens over what to watch. What's on? Do I get the TV? We deal with that a lot in our house.
Did your kids fight over the TV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
The girls or the boys more?
The boys was fuss about it. I want it. So we're like, okay, you gotta. And usually they ended up watching it, and the girls had to go along with it.
Sibling rivalry at its best.
Yeah. It's like, it's easier to tell you guys, just don't worry about it. You can watch something you want to watch later on.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But in that, you know, you have the opportunity to teach your kids that even in this, you know, sibling rivalry and this tension, it's important for you to love one another.
That's right.
You are siblings. You're never going to not be siblings. So it's important for you to love one another. And that's what we're talking about on today's episode, although not in the context of biological siblings, but in the context of the church family.
That's right.
That's right. Well, we're going to talk about Peter today. And Peter is talking to the church who people are going through some fiery trials. And he wants them to know that this is not the time to abandon that love. This is the time to almost double down on loving each other.
Right.
I mean, the message applies to us in the church today. Instead of fighting against each other, just know that as the pressure mounts, as trials get worse, as the world becomes more and more antagonistic towards Christianity, towards the church, we got to love each other even more.
Yeah,
it's a choice. It's a decision. We have to do this.
That's right.
So,
and it's one of those things, especially here in February, everybody's talking about love. Everybody's thinking about love.
Love is in the air.
But the world's definition of love doesn't really come from the Bible these days.
Yeah.
You know,
it's emotions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's also emotions brought about by sinful desires, by perversions of Judeo-Christian values, is what I was trying to say.
Right.
And we almost end up talking past each other when we talk about love around this time of year.
That's right. And so, true love in the family comes from being set apart and being born again.
That's right.
That's where true love comes from. And the times are dark, but God is sovereign, and we can and we should love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're going through a crisis right now or not, or whether we're going to go through a crisis in this nation again, we have to we overuse the word intentional.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anytime you want to sound very knowledgeable, just use the word intentional.
Yeah, just do it intentional.
This is really intentional time.
Yeah.
We should really be intentional during this time.
I've seen that people get asked a question and when they don't have the answer, it's like, you know what? What I think is be intentional.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever you do it on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but here it really means it, which is when you're going through a crisis, be intentional about loving one another.
That's right. That's right.
So the passage here is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart.
Mm. And I love that he says that this is a pure heart.
Yeah.
You can't fake it. You know what I mean? I can fake my smile and I can fake my nice words, but I can't fake that pure heart. And eventually people will see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was happening was in the early church, and Peter is writing to the pilgrims of the dispersion. These are Jewish and Gentile background believers. I would say primarily Jewish background believers who were scattered in the diaspora, especially around Asia Minor, but also Gentile background believers who were now in the church who were also being addressed as pilgrims.
But they are Christians. They're Jewish background believers.
Believers,
gotcha.
Right. They're not just Jewish people.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Jewish background believers and Gentile background believers, and they were being ostracized by their families, and they were facing discrimination by society from their neighbors. And Peter was telling them, don't lose that love for each other, brotherly love. And interestingly, he talks about that in 2 Peter chapter 1 as well. One of the attributes of climbing this ladder of spiritual growth is brotherly love.
Mm. That's a good point.
That's different than just love.
Yeah, because when you are growing, your love grows. You know what I mean? When I'm stagnant and when I'm not growing, you know, I feel these things that I call love, but it's not really biblical love. And how could I be growing in the Bible and not be growing in my love?
Well, that's a marker for our faith, too, is that if we're not displaying brotherly love, love among each other, then are we truly saved? Do we understand what it means to be saved? Do we understand what it means to be a part of God's family?
Right. Well, in fact, Peter is trying to get them back on track. He does that in 2 Peter, but he also does that in 1 Peter.
Right.
In three areas. The first one is holiness. He wants them to know that times of trials can cause us to lose our moral compass and feel entitled to indulge in sin. Don't do that. Instead, be intentional about being holy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no time that we see morals start to tank in people than when they go through a crisis. Yeah.
Right. Just don't lose your values. Mm-hmm. This is not the time to say, well, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Might as well do this.
Yeah, yeah, so with all that going on, God's not going to care about this.
He doesn't
one
care about
thing.
Me fooling around over here or messing around or having a little indulging here. It's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. God, and Peter is telling them, no, it matters. Mm-hmm. It's like this. With all the craziness happening in our world during the pandemic, the IRS still sent out your
Taxes.
That's a great point.
They still collected their money.
We didn't worry about those envelopes circulating.
No, they still came.
Yeah.
So also, think about it. God is billion, trillion, so much more than just the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think he keeps an account of everything that you do?
That's right.
Crisis or not.
Yeah.
So holiness is one. Mm-hmm. Secondly, misguided fear.
Mm.
Times of trials can also cause us to become fearful of people, of circumstances, and instead we are to fear God. Make sure that we don't have misguided and misapplied or misappropriate, I guess, fear. We need to have fear for God, who is our Father, who is our judge, who will judge us without partiality. Keep our eyes on Him.
It's a good point, because I think when we fear things, when we fear worldly things, not only are we failing to trust in God, but we are giving that part of ourselves that belongs to God to that thing. Not that we're to be anxious about God and facing Him or be frightened, but that reverence and that weight that belongs to Him is going to that other thing.
I also love that this is Peter. This is Peter talking, the one who did
get off track.
Fear, who did get off track, and he's the one that's saying, "Hey, don't do what I did. Don't make mistakes I did."
Almost.
Right. Yeah. I love that. The you know, he's speaking from a place of experience.
Right. So holiness, misguided fear, but the third one, which is our focus today, is our love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses the word, you know, he says love of the brethren. It's coming from two Greek words, which is Philadelphia, which is Philos is love, and Adelphos is brother. And we get, of course, Philadelphia, which was the name of two ancient cities. There's a city in Jordan, Amman, was called Philadelphia, but also there was a city in Asia Minor. I went past it, didn't get a chance to go into ancient Philadelphia, but he is referring to the love of the brethren, not necessarily just the city.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter even uses this adjective called anupakritos. Anupakritos, which means without hypocrisy. Mm. Anupakritos.
Without
hypocrisy.
Okay.
Means be sincere, be genuine in your love for each other. Don't pretend.
I guess that kind of comes back to that time of crisis where we, like, I can fool people when things are at peace, but in times of crisis, your true colors, I guess, come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Pressure can either bind us closer to each other or it can break us apart.
Mm.
And wow. So do examine your heart. Do you really love this person? Do you really love the people that God has put in your life? Whether it's family, whether it's your church family, do you really love them? And if you don't, it's going to show. When the pressure mounts, you're going to break. And it's going to break your friendships. It's going to break your relationships if it's not genuine.
Do you think that's why so many people fall, I don't want to say fall out of love, but they just expect this kind of warm, fuzzy, like emotional high. And then when things get tough and they don't feel that, they say, I guess I was never really in love, or I guess love is gone, or love is faded.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, there was a famous personality, this is going back in the 60s, 70s, by the name of Dr. Leo Buscaglia, okay? And he was known as Dr. Love. And he would ask this question. Listen to this. He said, do I have an ulterior motive for wanting to relate to this person?
Mm. Wow.
That's a hard question to ask yourself.
What is my motive? Am I being nice? Am I being friendly? Am I caring because I want this from them? Am I planning to change this person? I think those are good questions to figure out. Do you really have brotherly love, or do you have this hypocritical love? Do I need this person to help make up for some deficiency in myself? Let me repeat that again. I think it's probably going to help somebody today.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have an ulterior motive for wanting to relate to this person? Here's another one. Is my caring conditional? Am I trying to escape something? Am I planning to change this person? And do I need this person to help make up for a deficiency in myself?
I'm almost scared to ask, but what do you do if the answer to those is yes? Because, I mean, clearly you're like, no, not me. Of course not.
Yeah. I would say repent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where appropriate, seek forgiveness. Sometimes it's best not to go to that person and say, hey, I've been loving you wrong.
Yeah, I've been using you.
Maybe not do that, but you can always.
Maybe just go the Ed Sheeran route and just say, I'll love you better now.
Yeah. What you got, Dave?
Well, the only thing that I wanted to kind of ask is loving somebody and then like helping them change. How is that bad? If like, say like there's a relationship, like a mentor mentee, and they're loving them, but they're showing them how to change. Are you trying to change them apply in that situation?
Well, this is, I believe what Dr. Buscaglia was saying is more changing them to fit my agenda.
That's what I was going to say. What he's talking about, I feel, is more like, I don't want you to improve yourself. I want you to make life more bearable for me or more comfortable for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's to do with the heart behind
my
it.
My motive.
The motive. I'm if in our relationship you change and I help facilitate that process, then great. But that's not my goal in establishing the relationship. I'm not setting out to change you.
Or it's the case of, I really need you to be more compliant with me so that I can get my work done, or I can get this, or I can achieve this. So for that, I'm going to change you and in a way manipulate that relationship so that happens.
Right.
But I think just, hey, I really care about you. I see that you're falling into this trap. I want to help you.
Right.
You know, I don't know that that's what he's talking about.
Well, Peter tells us two things that we can do so we can have sincere love for each other in the spiritual family.
Mm-hmm.
They're equally necessary and they're connected. And the first is this. Your life has to be set apart by obedience to the truth through the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Now, I would not have put that as one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
obedience.
That's what he does.
Yeah, yeah. Obedience to the truth.
How can you have this sincere love for the brethren? He says in verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit.
Since you've purified your souls.
Right.
I see. You've purified your souls in obedience. So the Spirit is the one who purifies your souls.
Right.
It's your obedience. That's the contribution, I guess, right. quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. That in you... sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's prefaced with, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now, the word for purification is hegnekotes. Okay, hegnekotes means consecration or being set apart. It has the idea of these vessels being set apart in the temple for sacrifice and for offering. So since you have obeyed the truth of the gospel through the Holy Spirit, we become set apart to love properly.
Right. We've been, it's, you have received Christ and now you're ready to love.
Right.
To love properly. Yeah. To love by God's standards.
So I guess the question is, have you been set apart?
Mm-hmm.
Have you experienced God's salvation? Have you obeyed the truth of the gospel?
Yeah. Which is in the series that we're going through right now at Clearview on track, Dr. Shah, you've said that as like, if you think about it as a ladder, you can't even get to the ladder if you have not made that step of salvation.
Right.
That's
your step faith,
one.
That Christian faith is the base. That's like the floor that the ladder is resting on.
Then you can start climbing, but we've got to get to that first.
Yeah.
Right. Salvation is the ground.
It almost, I feel like people are trying to put like a ladder in like an ocean or something and then getting upset that they can't climb it because it's resting on
water. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. So it has to be done on the ground of salvation.
That's right. That's
but the second condition that Peter talks about is that you have to be born again with an eternal nature of which love is the essence. You have to be born with an eternal nature of which love is the essence.
Hmm.
Listen to what he says in verse 23, which is the very next verse. He says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed. Corruptible means it's not eternal.
Right.
Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
Reminds me of when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Mm. When he was saying, you have to be born again. Yeah.
Right.
He was confused. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Dude? I can't. Yeah. Obviously, I can't do that.
So what does this born again imply? What does this rebirth imply? Well, of course, we were born once.
Right.
And we need a rebirth in heavenly existence, not just the earthly.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the rebirth was taught to be at the end of time, but now through Christ, it can happen right now in your soul.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm actually reading, so you actually gave me a book on New Testament theology, and that's a big, big part of it is the already and the not yet.
Right.
And how they're married together beautifully because they sound contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
That, like the kingdom is here. It's already happened. Right. It hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And they're both true at the same time, 100%.
That's right.
That's really cool.
And this rebirth happens through faith and love. Remember, we emphasized the importance of faith. Faith in Christ, that first step of salvation or first step of the Christian life is when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and King, and you do that by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And also love. You love him. And is the living hope in the person of Jesus Christ, and we begin to share in his attributes as children of God.
Wow.
This is all part of that rebirth.
Yeah.
And I can go on and on and talk about how when you are reborn, you begin to live in a new community. Just like we had nothing to contribute to our first birth, we cannot do anything to merit our second birth. All this is part of being born again. But then there is a shift that Peter brings about in verse 24. He says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord abides forever or endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So he went from talking about loving fervently and being set apart to being born again to talking about the imperishability of the word of God. Now, why did he make that switch, that shift? Well, Peter is actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, but in the Septuagint.
Hmm. Is it different in the Hebrew Bible?
In a sense, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, Septuagint... Okay. Overall, it's the same, but there are some differences.
Mm-hmm.
Some places, very big differences.
Yeah. Wow.
So Peter quotes from Isaiah because Peter believed that the prophecy of Isaiah applied to his readers. And what was his prophecy? Listen to this. In this passage, Peter is quoting from Isaiah where the introduction of the promises of God was making... with the introduction of the promises God was making to his people who were in exile in Babylon.
So this is a Babylonian exile time,
right,
when Isaiah was writing.
Right, right. This is going back to the 6th century when the people of Judah were in Babylon wondering what had happened to God's covenant. And Isaiah, who came before all this, says in verse 1, Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
So Isaiah lived before the Babylonian exile?
Of course.
Okay, so he was prophesying about it still to come.
That's why when people say, the Bible is not an extraordinary book. Well, they haven't done their homework.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
Right? And they can always say, well, somebody made up the Bible. Okay, well, those are easy. I can just say, well, you don't exist. We can all say things.
Yeah, and I can start collecting evidence like that you don't exist. Like, I went and talked to people in London. They never heard of you.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
we can make up stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not good. But if we study the Bible scientifically and give it the same amount of attention that you give to any other piece of literature, it's amazing that this man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave this prophecy way down for people way down the road.
That's insane. Do you guys want to dive into Isaiah a little bit tomorrow?
Yeah, I would love to do that.
I think that'd be great.
Let's do it.
So helpful for us. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, or maybe you learned something about the book of Isaiah or the importance of loving one another, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website, be a part of what God is doing here through the Clearview Today Show. We also want to encourage you to visit mightymuscadine.com. Check out their line of products. They've got a great selection of products for you. Use that promo code TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y, when you check out. That's not only going to get you a discount, but a portion of those proceeds come right back here to the Clearview Today Show. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.